and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thy only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given us his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. I will answer him.
I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him in honor.
With long life I will satisfy him.
And show him my salvation.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place.
The Most High, who is my refuge.
No evil shall be allowed to befall you.
No plague come near your tent.
For he will command his angels concerning you.
To guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up.
Lest you strike your foot against the stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder.
The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him.
And show him my salvation.
Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent comes from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'
But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the woman and said to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, and pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is taken from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him again, "It is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to them, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Here endeth the gospel.
I believe God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the greatest tricks that the devil ever pulled was to convince the world that he didn't exist. In this way, that wicked serpent, that great enemy of God and man, that creature of the shadows, has been able to work his craft in the dark and spread his venom among the children of Adam. And so it is today that his doctrine is often taught in the universities or the schools and in the media under some more benign sounding names, such as progress or social justice or the science with a capital S and a trademark over the E. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that science is bad, but we all know that the science very often means little more than what the opinions of the ones speaking about it are, that it has very little to do with actual science. That crafty creature in the beginning, with poisonous words, disrupted the harmony and unity between man, woman, and God, introduced distrust, discord, division, and death. And so he plies the same trade today, poisoning the hearts of men with nihilism or atheism or gender ideology and racism, either in its newfangled form of CRT or in its good old-fashioned kind, turning neighbor against neighbor, man against man, husband against wife, and ultimately, all of us against our loving Creator. Whether one believes in him or not does not actually matter very much. For in this present evil age, he is served, and he is served well. His creed is the creed of our own times. It is not, "Thy will be done, Father in heaven, but do as thou wilt. Not be true unto God, but be true unto thine own self, with all of your own disordered desires, lusts, and passions. Not seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, but seek ye first thine own kingdom." And this is why our culture is so enthralled to the beast that we ironically pay homage to him in music videos, erect statues of the horned Baphomet with children on his lap, and have faux worship of him at the Grammys. Major media corporations like CBS tweeting out, "Ready to worship," as transgender go-go dancers exalt a gender-fluid pop star in satanic attire. This is why we have the Satanic Temple declaring abortion to be a sacrament and then suing states on religious freedom grounds to allow abortion. It is not that all these people are theological Satanists. It's not that they actually believe in the devil. But they grab onto and they cling to his symbols and his image because they recognize that his project is the same as theirs. Perhaps I quote it a little too often, but I cannot help it, because it is such a restive word from our Lord that can pull us out of our slumber. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires." Jesus speaks these shocking words not to a congregation of Satanists, not to a coven of witches, not even to Greek pagans, but to Israelites who will not accept his word. Indeed, he says, "Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear me or hear them is that you are not of God." Whether one believes in the devil or not, if they are not in Jesus, they are a child of the father of lies. Nonetheless, those are the ones precisely whom Jesus died for and calls to himself, calls to be reconciled to God, precisely those whom we are called to preach the gospel to. So we are not called to be woke, but we are called to be awake to the works of the devil in the world, to see his works in the light of the holy apostolic scriptures. You have an enemy, an adversary, Satan, who is ceaselessly spreading ever more sin, error, blindness, and darkness, misery and misfortune. Broken families, depressed children, empty churches, these are his goals. The scriptures shine their bright light on him so that he cannot hide in the shadows anymore. They say he is the prince of the power of the air and that he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He is at work in the sons of disobedience and has blinded the mind of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Paul says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so our gospel text this morning tells us two more things that we should know about the devil. First, that Christ has battled him and has conquered. And second, how Christians, by the power of Christ, might overcome him. In today's gospel, the battle between Christ and the devil begins in earnest. Christ has just been baptized in that glorious scene with the heavens opening up and the Spirit descending upon him. Like a dove for all to see, the voice of the Father has rung out like thunder from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Christ, according to his own words, has stepped into the Jordan, into the place of sinners to fulfill all righteousness. He has begun his substitutionary work, and immediately he is led out by the Spirit into the wilderness to do battle with our great and ancient foe. All of Israel, all of mankind, reduced to one man, the God-man Jesus Christ. Yes, Paul declares, if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Like David of old, the offshoot, the offspring of David, now stands against hell's Goliath. In David, we see a type of Christ, the Philistines, that menacing army, sent out their champion, the giant Goliath. And he came out with this challenge. If Goliath should triumph over Israel's champion, Israel would be the Philistines' slaves. But if Israel should triumph over Goliath, the Philistines will be their slaves. Goliath menaced them with taunts and insults. He shamed them from the plain and with his mighty spear and shield and armor. But then that shepherd lad, David, from Bethlehem, small, young, altogether unimpressive, armed with only a few stones, took his challenge, took the field to fight for all of Israel against that mighty foe, and with one stone crushed the head of the giant. His victory was Israel's victory. And so the good shepherd, the son of Bethlehem, Jesus our Lord, comes in weakness to stand before the dragon. As we sang in Luther's great hymn today, his royal power disguised he bore, a servant's form like me he wore, to lead the devil captive. In Jesus, the devil who had conquered man was conquered by man. The greater Goliath conquered by David's greater son. Yes, ancient prophecy is ultimately fulfilled in the cross. The serpent there would bruise Christ's heel, but Christ would crush him with his death. The mighty battle begins here, and the first skirmish is won in the temptation. And not won by Jesus for himself, but won by Jesus for us. Standing as our representative, the new Adam, through whom all the sons and daughters of God would be born. He succeeded where the first Adam failed. He is not in paradise with plenty to eat, but in the wilderness, fasting for 40 days. And yet he refuses the devil's offer of food, when Adam did not. The serpent in the garden undermined Adam and Eve's trust in the word of God with the question, did God really say? But Christ responds without wavering, it is written. Where Adam and Eve succumb to the temptation of glory and pride, Jesus refuses the glory of all the kingdoms of the earth, instead choosing the glory of obedience to the Father through an ignominious death on the cross. Christ triumphed. He commanded Satan to leave, and the devil? He had to leave defeated. Dearly beloved, your heavenly general has won the day. Nothing more is required of you than what was required of the army of Israel when they faced the Philistines. You are the believing spectator, watching your champion defeat hell's Goliath, and he shares the spoils of victory with you. You are free of the devil's tyranny, no matter how deeply you had previously succumbed to it. Side with Christ, and you are victor over sin and hell. And Christ your Lord divides those spoils of war with you: forgiveness of sins, righteousness, life, and salvation. The victory is won for you by Christ. Now, though, you have joined the banner of the cross. You stand on the side of victory, and now it is time to take up spiritual arms, to put on the full armor of God and pursue the defeated foe. Our Lord Christ says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." That is not to say that the church will merely survive the wrath of hell. Certainly, that is true. But rather that the church militant is now on the ramparts, storming that fortress, and those infernal gates will not hold. Hell and its prince will not survive the fury of heaven. As St. Paul says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. We wield the word of God, which is a powerful two-edged sword. With law, we come to expose sin, and with the gospel, we come to set the captives free. And here is the second use of today's gospel lesson. Yes, of first importance is that Christ has taken the field and he has won the victory. But second, by his example, he shows us how to prosecute the war. Whoever has been made victorious by Christ will also fight as he did. You have been called up into active duty, into spiritual warfare. God is called the Lord God of Sabaoth because he is at the head of the leader of the angel armies and also the armies of his saints. And so we see in today's text both the devil's cunning in his threefold temptation of Jesus, but we also see how he is overcome. First, the devil appeals to Jesus' need and hunger. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. He seeks to make Jesus question his Father's love for him and God's provision for his needs. Can you truly be the Son of God if you are in such distress? Or is God really good? Satan's first temptation is to make Christians despair on account of poverty or want or sickness or depression or misfortune, to make the Christian doubt God's care and provision. When this temptation fails, he moves on to the next trick. He twists God's word. He rips it from context. He says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Completely ignoring what follows, "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name." Here the devil takes a passage about the faithfulness of the Messiah to the Father and tries to induce Jesus with it to put his Father to the test. This is the second trick of the devil. He tries to use God's own word to undermine God's word. He twists it, he distorts it, he uses one partial truth to bring in 10 lies. Some true dough mixed with leaven to sneak the leaven in to leaven the whole lump. But again, this temptation fails, and he turns to his third trick. He points to all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and says, "All these I will give to you." He tempts you to throw away your heavenly treasure for earthly fame, wealth, and glory, the eternal for the temporal, incorruptible joy, for the pursuit of corruptible lusts. Three keys the devil uses to enter the human heart: hardship, false doctrine, and earthly glory or sensuous pleasure. And all three are overcome in the same way. It is written, it is written, it is written. That great and ancient foe may be wiser than we, stronger and smarter too. but he is no match for the word of God. By it he is overcome. So, dear Christians, make the word of God your weapon. Before it, the devil must flee. His darkness cannot stand in the light, and his lies are revealed by the truth. Learn from your Satan, Savior, not from your Satan. Learn from Jesus, your Savior, how to overcome Satan's attacks and answer. It is written, when trouble and distress befall you and the devil makes you doubt God's love, respond. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word of the mouth of God. It is written, all things work together for the good of those who love God. It is written, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. When the devil twists God's word and says, it is written, you respond, yes, and it is also written here and here and here. And when he entices you by worldly passions and glory, respond, it is written, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning, and the wages of sin is death. And so this Lent, let us know that Christ has conquered the devil for us. And if we choose to give up chocolate or meat or fast in any way, let it also be the case that we take up the word of God in the church and at home, so that to every assault and purpose of the devil, we may answer, "Begone, Satan, it is written, you have been defeated." Amen. May rise for the offertory.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you sought Adam and Eve in the garden and called them to repentance. Seek us when we wander from your holy word and give us contrite hearts to confess our sins and receive the forgiveness and restoration you promise us. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, your Son trampled the serpent underfoot and freed us from sin and death by his own death on the cross. Protect and preserve all called to preach Christ and him crucified, especially the Reverend David and his wife Barbara. Command your angels to guard them in all their ways and bear them up for the sake of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you created the home as the place where we are brought up in the ways of truth, goodness, and mercy. Sustain parents in their sacred charge and grant that our homes would be places of confession and forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have established earthly authorities to punish evil and praise those who do good. Grant our rulers humble hearts to resist the allure of power and to worship you alone. Defend Sean, Austin, and Thomas as they defend our country and nation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, your Son was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to suffer temptation for our sake. Strengthen us when we are tempted and teach us to rely upon your word as our defense against the evil one. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, send your holy angels to protect and keep us in your ways, that no evil may befall us. Graciously behold the needy, the sick, the troubled, and lonely, especially Harold, Bonnie, Prabhu, Aubrey, Barbara, Charlotte, Maya, Wanda, and Patricia. Satisfy us with long life and show us your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us a refuge from the world in the body of Christ. Protect us from all evils of body and soul, that we would find rest in this life, an eternal rest in your heavenly embrace. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. season, as we go into Lent, let us remember that we are Christian soldiers marching off to war, right? That our general has conquered the devil, and we are following his train. Reminder that the midweek services this year will be held at St. Thomas, and they are at 7:30 p.m., so don't forget about those. I hope to see many of you over there at St. Thomas. We have order forms here for in your bulletin for those who would like to order some Easter lilies, so please take a look at that as well. Natanya was also wondering if anyone would be interested in helping her with the bulletin for a couple weeks after the baby is delivered, so if that is something you would be interested in doing, please speak to Natanya about that. We have a continued reminder to bring plastic containers, some ladies' aid. I believe that is it. Oh, ladies' aid directives are available on the usher stand as well. So the updated ones are going to be up there. So I believe that is it for this morning, unless I've missed any crucial announcements. Fourth and peace.